It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. This is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining me for our weekly get-together here on KETR. You know, I recently got back from the Cedar Break country up in Knox County, which is west of Seymour. I hunted a ranch called Ranger Creek Ranch, which is really close to a little settlement up there called Vera. But I don't know if you've ever been up in that part of the country, but it is absolutely awesome. The farmland around Vera, when you're heading west out of Seymour, it's a lot of big wheat fields this time of year. It's agricultural country. But the amazing thing is when you go into Vera and this ranch that we were hunting, the northern boundary joins the famous Wagoner Ranch, which is an old Texas ranch, been around, been an operating ranch for, I think, 150, 200 years, something like that. But you've heard of the Cedar Breaks country, maybe. Well, when you come up heading north out of Vera there, on this Ranger Creek Ranch where we hunted, it's flat land, relatively flat, rolling farmland, and it falls off into what honestly looks like it could be Arizona. Some of the most rugged, awesomely beautiful land that you've ever seen out there, but I've often wondered how often humans actually get back into that really rough country. An interesting thing is that there's a lot of javelina in that country. You know, most people think that you have to go to South Texas to get into javelina country, or maybe Arizona, where there's a lot of javelina. But the Wagoner Ranch back, I think it was back in the 30s, stocked javelina in that area. And that's the far northernmost range that javelina are known to be. It's right in that area. But they stocked them. And I did quite a bit of research a couple of years ago for a magazine article I was doing. And the javelina didn't fare very well in the cold winters. So what they did, they took RCP pipe and buried it underground and left both ends open. And this would, in fact, give the javelinas a shelter when it got really cold up there. Well, their plan obviously worked because, you know, the numbers are not nearly as great up there in Knox County. The javelina numbers are not nearly as great as they are in South Texas, of course, or Mexico. But there's a lot of javelina. I was not able to harvest one. I had one within 15 yards up there. A big javelina will weigh 50 pounds. This one was probably about 40 pounds. There was two of them came in. And hunting with my bow, and I drew on that little critter, and what he did, he looked right at me when I drew. He saw the motion that I made, and I had to hold the draw for a good minute waiting for a broadside shot. And when I did squeeze the release and let the arrow fly, the little pig took a quick turn, and I hit the dirt, which I'd always rather have a clean miss than wound an animal. But we had a great time up there on that Ranger Creek Ranch, and the highlight there was a lot of big gobblers, a lot of turkeys. I go up in that country every year spring turkey hunting, but I had about six, you know, gobblers right now like white-tailed deer bucks. They're running in bachelor groups. That'll all change when the breeding season for the turkey kicks off here in April. But I saw a bunch of them, and my buddy Bob Hood, who's the outdoor writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, was with me. Bob's had a flock of them come in, and actually, he got some really good pictures of a big gobbler with about 11-inch beard that came within about 15 yards of him. We didn't kill a javelina, but I tell you, a late-season hunt like that up in that big wild country is absolutely awesome. If you get the chance, you might check out the article there in the Greenville Herald Banner. Hopefully a picture will accompany it this week. Some really rough country. Found an old cave back in the hills, and luckily I had my 300-millimeter lens. I was able to take a picture of it from about a quarter of a mile away. The country from where I was at to that cave would have been all but inaccessible. No way you could have made it there on foot. You know, the eastern turkey was stocked in East Texas here back in the 70s. I remember when they were first introduced from trap birds from Virginia and some of the southeastern states. But Red River County was the first county in East Texas to receive stockings of the eastern bird. And right now, in my opinion, that's the very best county to hunt them. I killed a really nice gobbler up there last year, hunting with my old buddy Mike Ford. Now, I know a lot of you listening know Mike Ford. He was a star quarterback for SMU, and he played professional football for Tampa Bay. Mike and his wife, Lori, own the Rio Rojo Rancho up in northwestern Red River County, real close to where the first eastern turkey were stocked the first time in Texas. Well, old Mike's standing by with us, and we're going to talk some turkey. Mike, thank you very much for being with us, buddy.
Hey, Luke, great to talk to you again.
I always love to catch you when you slow down a little bit and talk hunting with you, Mike. A lot of the folks listening to us right now on KETR already know you. I bet you've got more friends than you'd ever believe listening to you right now. But, I was fortunate up there last year to take my first eastern turkey in Texas ever. First one on your place, the Rio Rojo up there. And I wanted to kind of get an update from you. It's a little bit early to give any hardcore predictions, but, you know, have you been seeing quite a few mature birds throughout the fall hunting season and all?
You know, Luke, we've seen numerous birds. We had a decent wet spring in our little old area. We're one of the few counties that we're not in the statewide drought situation. So we had some rain last spring and summer for nesting, and I think we're going to have an excellent crop of birds this year. We've got good birds left over. There's isolated patches in our eastern turkey reintroduction part of the state that's had some issues, and I know the state has closed the season on several counties to reevaluate their stocking processes, but overall, in general, I think it's good. We have just recently had a burn seminar hosted by the Upland Game Birds of the Texas Parks and Wildlife and the National Wild Turkey Federation. We had over 75 people show up to our little old church up in Addie Lou, Texas at the Leesville Baptist Church the other day for not only some fellowship and some food, but for some education on burning and controlled burn situations on our properties, for the main benefit being the turkey as well as taking care of our land. But just a phenomenal response that the neighborhoods come in with.
To have the ideal habitat, you have to do that, don't you?
Well, in general, as you know, Luke, the main mechanism of defense for turkeys is their eyesight. And if the wood floor is grown up with underbrush that's not being productive in a forest system, and it's just scrub brush and things, if a turkey can't see through those woods aren't doing that turkey no good. They're just helping the critter that's trying to catch them to eat them. So in doing that controlled burn and getting the dead leaves and the dead limbs and the undergrowth off the forest floor, we're not only taking out the opportunity of a nasty natural disaster of a free-range fire, but we're protecting our wildlife and giving them habitat to reproduce and to strive. And that's really what the burn initiative is about.
I learned something right there, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners did too. You know, you would think that when you, say if you're hunting a pine plantation, for instance, and you clear, you know, you're not going to clear all the cover for nesting and all that. You're just going to open up areas. The turkey are still going to have plenty of cover to nest in and to hide in, but yet they'll have some open areas where they can be safe from predators, right?
Be safe from predators. You know, when an old big gobbler, Eastern or Rio Grande or Merriam's or Osceola or Gould's, any of them, when they're strutting and they're in the pursuit of breeding season, they want a little open ground where they can get out and strut around and be seen.
That's it.
Well, no different when they're in their natural instincts for survival. Sure, they can hear, they can hardly smell, but they can see. And if you know how tall a turkey is, and if the underbrush of the forest floor or the neighboring pastures is undergrowth brush, and that turkey's line of visibility is blocked, heck, an old bobcat or a coyote or a fox can stalk up on them and catch them from downwind and make an unfortunate lunch. You know, I like to eat them, but I really like to see them and get to hunt them and share with people the things that the great outdoors brings us. And the turkey's been here since the dinosaur. So as long, you know, that's somebody that we can relate history to for survival for millions of years. How did they do it and all the rest of these species didn't is always a question to ask.
Well, it's something to, there's just something about hunting turkeys, and to me, the only way to really hunt them is in the spring. You know, I mean, there's a lot of turkeys ambushed in the fall by deer hunters, and in years past, I've done the same thing, you know. But there's nothing to me as fun as getting out there. And I just finished an article, a magazine article for Texas Outdoors Journal, and in that article, it's for the April issue, Mike, and I recapped the hunt that I had up on my first successful hunt for eastern turkeys. I've hunted them several years, but they'd be jakes or
you know Luke, that hunting turkeys in the fall, which you can hunt eastern in the fall, it's only in the spring you can legally hunt Rio Grandes in the fall.
Yep.
I call that turkey shooting. In the springtime, when you're out trying to chase an old weary gobbler that's already with some hens and get his attention enough to call him off of them hens and get close enough to shoot him with a shotgun or a bow, that's turkey hunting.
In
my eyes, that's the difference. But it's a great sport, and as you know, you're an extremely successful turkey hunter, and I've hunted with you. I know you are, and I see your setups, and I know your calls, and I know your patience. And hunting real birds and hunting eastern birds, sure, a lot of the tactics overlap, but there is no comparison to what all you have to do right to accomplish harvesting a mature eastern bird. And I'm not saying Rios are easy, but they're different.
They're different.
Because of the terrain they come from is really what makes them different.
I wonder, Mike, I've hunted Rios like you have for a long, long time, And I've been, you know, had some really good hunts. I've seen that they don't always react the same way. If we could ever figure out what one day makes them go silent, they will not gobble. The next day, they'll gobble their heads off when you shut a pickup truck door. But what I've learned about the eastern turkeys, those rascals live in a lot tighter quarters. I think this is the reason. They're a lot less vocal, or they have been when I've hunted them, you know. And they're subject to sneak up on you from any direction after when they hear you calling.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's a big difference in the two. But I dearly love to hunt Rios. If it's a wild turkey and it's springtime, and I'm fortunate enough to have some time to do it, you know, I'm gonna be there, Mike. And
that's one of my favorite sports, Luke. You know, the sound of that gobbler on a roost and the bugle of an elk in September on a mountain in Colorado, and maybe the old distinct honk of a greater Canadian goose coming into a setup.
Yes.
Them three distinct voices are something that one good, maybe not me and you, Luke, but the music conductor that can take sound and make music,
yep.
He could take the three sounds of that turkey and that elk and that goose and make a pretty doggone good song.
Yeah, Mike, I tell you, that to me, those sounds are the essence of everything wild, you know.
Maybe the old whistle of a bobwhite quail, which we don't get to hear so much no more.
That's true. That's,
you know, the whole upland theory of, you know, the quail and the turkey are both under our Parks and Wildlife's Upland Game Division, and as you know, we've had the most liberal quail hunting season in the history of hunting regulations in our state. We don't have the quail numbers we used to have. The drought has part issues to do with it, but there's a lot of other issues. But I hope somewhere, someday, they cut the quail numbers you can harvest back and cut the amount of days you can harvest a quail down. And hopefully we reestablish them, and it's no different than taking care of the turkey or the deer or the quail. If you're taking care of any of them one item on your ranch or one of them animals, you're taking care of the rest of them, too.
You are. Mike, we are out of time. Leave the website and then your phone number, please, sir.
You bet, Luke. Excuse me. Our phone number is 903-674-3750. And our website is our ranch's name, which is RioRojoRancho.com.
Mike, thanks a lot. And I want to get you back here real soon before the season opens, okay?
Good deal, Luke.
Folks, we are out of time for today's show. I've really enjoyed being with you. Today's show was underwritten by Ranger Creek Ranch. That's RangerCreekRanch.com up in Knox County. The number there is 940-888-2478. And also underwritten by Smoking Tech Electric Smokers in Plano, Texas, 888-922-1511 or SmokingTex.com.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.